I had the pleasure of speaking to Lael Neal a couple of weeks back before her album Altogether Stranger released to the world last Friday. It is such a beautiful body of work, and I'm so pleased that I had the opportunity to speak with her. She's so well spoken, so articulate. Oh, I'm gushing. Anyway, I hope you enjoy listening back to that one. With people
just like me. You know, I really don't listen to a ton of music, which is crazy.
Oh, wow.
I know. But I listen to, like, when I'm driving, I listen to the classical radio station, which I love. That's kind of like the main thing that I've been listening to lately.
That's so interesting. Yeah, because a lot of people I think that I speak to are really influenced by a lot of the music that they're listening to. So that's really interesting.
I kind of like to not be too influenced. I mean, I'm influenced obviously by the music I listen to all my life, and yeah. And I go through periods of listening to it. But yeah, lately, I would say for the past few years, really, I haven't like intentionally listened to that much music. Partially, it's because I don't have a really good stereo or anything where I live, which is strange.
I think maybe looking back at your past albums, I think starting in 2015 with I'll Be Your Man and then Star Eater's Delight in 2021, I feel like you had quite a switch up in your sound. And I was just wondering maybe if you could tell us about what the journey's been like for you.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big kind of leap or jump in my songwriting, I feel like, and my voice. One of the biggest differences between the first album, I'll Be Your Man, and these other, Acquainted with Night and Star Eaters and Altogether Stranger, is that I started taking voice lessons.
Wow.
I don't know, just after that album, maybe like 2016 or 2017. And that really, really shifted the way that I sing. I think I hadn't like reached my truly authentic voice yet.
Yeah.
And that kind of helped me break through. Actually, literally my voice changed, but also my writing voice changed. So figuratively it changed too. It's like my soul came through more clearly, is my feeling about it. Also the Omnichord, the instrument that I use, really changed the way that I write. And then the sounds and the production style kind of comes from Guy Blakeslee, who I work with, and he helped me kind of peel back all of the excess stuff and get to like the heart of what the sound needed to be.
Oh, wow. I find that really interesting about working with a vocal coach, because I'm classically trained and it took me about like 8 years of my singing teacher telling me to stop trying to sound like an opera singer and just try to sing like myself. I don't know. I think that switch is really special, which is really beautiful to hear.
That's so cool. Yeah. We think that we need to manipulate our voices in order to sound a certain way, but it's best if we can just kind of get to what we really actually sound like.
Yeah. And I think something that really sticks out with your work in particular is that your songs don't really follow any kind of set structure, and it's really informed more about like the poetry or the poetic nature of your lyric. Where do you start in the writing process, and how does that inform the structure that takes place?
It's very intuitive. So I've obviously listened to a lot of music in my life, but I still don't really like, I know that there's kind of like a mathematical proper way of writing a song where it's, you know, intro, then a verse, and then a chorus. And that, I have that sometimes, but really I don't think of it that much that way. It's all kind of happens as an organic process where I sit down with an instrument and start playing some chords, and then a melody will pop into my head and I'll just sing nonsense. And then the words will kind of start popping through. And then I can kind of, once I have that core, like the essence of feeling, then I'm able to fill in the blanks of what message is trying to come through. And the words are very important. They're kind of like the most important part to me. They kind of come last.
Interesting. As a listener, what sticks out most, I think, obviously, is the way you write. With this album, it kind of feels like the epitome of show, not tell. I think it's very descriptive of the world. What inspired you when tackling the writing of this album?
Yeah, that's cool that you said show, don't tell, because that was like my seventh grade teacher's. I mean, she was like probably one of the most profound influences on my writing. And wow. That was like, she had that like huge on the blackboard, show, don't tell. I know that that has influenced the writing for every album. But this one in particular definitely is very specific to having moved back to Los Angeles after a few years in the country. And it's very much grappling with having changed, because I lived here for almost 10 years before. And then this recent move back was kind of grappling with feeling like a different person coming back to the same city, but the city felt way more oppressive and loud and intense. And I felt more sensitive than I had ever before. And so all the songs are kind of me trying to figure out what my place is in the world, because Los Angeles has always kind of felt like my home and the center from which everything I do is born from. And so there was some tension happening as I was writing the album. It's like some inner conflict.
The Tell Me How to Be Here. That's really descriptive of what you've just been talking about, the inspiration behind the album. It is such a beautiful song. I cannot tell you how many people I've been telling to listen to the song. It's so beautiful. How do the lyrics come to you? Because they feel the language is quite simple, but the way you put words together is still ends up being quite profound. And when you're listening to them, you'll just sit and go, oh yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. How do the lyrics come to you?
Thank you. Yeah, they always surprise me. Like the best songs just kind of flow out, and the words, sometimes I look back and I'm like, wow, that was perfectly how I felt, but I didn't think that I would be able to articulate it. I mean, I feel kind of cheesy saying it, but it does kind of feel like a channeling experience where I'm not overthinking it. I feel like part of it has to do with also going through spells of time where I'm naturally right-handed, but I'll write with my left hand. And I feel like that opens up some kind of other creative avenue that is less my practical, like logical thinking mind. And it's more of a collective conscious mind or some greater knowing than just than that I have. Not to be too lofty about the lyric, my intention is to be kind of mundane and very simple and pretty straightforward, but also to kind of try to say it in a new way. And I've always hoped to accomplish that. So I am kind of thinking of it in some way, but yeah, I'm often like, oh, well, that was simple, but pretty perfectly sums up what I was getting at.
There are a couple of tracks that I wanted to talk through. All Good Things Come to Pass. You managed to tell the world story in 3:10. That's so hard. I don't think history lecturers are very good at doing that. So I was just wondering, what was the inspiration behind wanting to tell the history of the earth in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of that. I was like, really, I love that song just because it's funny to me. I'm like basically poking fun at it.
No, it is funny.
But also pretty dark, but also kind of sad too. Through the lens of religion, it's really interesting to look at the myths that we tell ourselves and how we justify the actions that we take. The myth versus the reality. We're supposed to just live on the land and love each other, but like, how have we gotten so far off track from that? So yeah, it's definitely like making fun of mankind, but also like all good things will come to pass is a hopeful note too.
Oh, interesting. Know? Yeah, I think the image that's most powerful is in the beginning, a man shaking God's hand with his hands crossed behind his back. And then at the end, it kind of circles back with man going back to God with their head hung. I really like people obviously turn to religion when they feel like, you know, things have gone wrong, and then kind of cling to that idea that things are going to be okay.
Yeah, and kind of just having to like humble ourselves.
Yeah.
And whoa, we screwed up. Like, we need help.
Yeah, and then Sleep Through the Long Night, the next track. This is the first track I noticed you feature the organ quite heavily on the album. Did you have access to a pipe organ, or is that just...
It's actually an instrument called an omnichord.
Oh, okay.
It's a really bizarre little... It's kind of like a toy instrument that was made in the 80s by Suzuki. And it has these just like... I mean, it's on all of the most recent three records. So,
yeah.
Kind of all over everything, but yeah, that one definitely heavily features that sound.
How'd you come across that?
I was searching for a specific sound that was actually more like an organ type sound.
Yeah,
it ended up being an instrument called a novachord, but the person that told me about that said that there were only like 200 novachords in existence, and they're these massive instruments. And so he was like, I don't think you're gonna find that, but here, try out this omnichord. And that was in 2019, and then from that point on, that's been like my main instrument that I write on.
Right, now that you mention that, I hear it throughout all three albums. That's so cool. It creates a very unique sound compared to, I guess, a lot of other artists who are in your space who are quite like synth heavy, but that instrument is quite unique, I think, in sound quality.
Yeah, because it's technically a synth, but it doesn't sound like that to me. It sounds like a weird church organ or something.
Yeah. And I guess also, just going back to the song, I think I found it really intriguing because it kind of sounds like all of the thoughts in your head before bed. Do you like kind of arpeggiate the omnichord, if that's what you call, throughout the back?
That's cool. That is the setting. There's like all these different sound settings on the omnichord.
Oh, wow.
And that's the piano setting, which does have like an arpeggiated sound. So it's like distinct, instead of this long droning, which is a lot of them, this has like distinct notes going up. And there's like, if you look up omnichord, you'll see there's like a touchpad that you kind of like swipe with your hand.
Oh, amazing. I'm going to have things to Google at the end of this interview. And I noticed in the last couple tracks, it's got like a fuzz that kind of... What did you record the last tracks with?
Some of the songs, I guess only one of them, All Good Things Will Come to Pass, was recorded on actual tape cassette.
Yeah.
The last two... were fully on tape cassette, but it kept breaking this time. And so we did them all through the computer, but using a tape effect on it,
right.
So that it sounds the same as the other ones, because I wanted it to have that, you know, lo-fi kind of timeless, kind of out of this time sound.
Yeah.
But the last track especially is really crazy because there's this hawk couple that live out in the tree by our house, and you can hear it, they're screeching so loud on the last song that I almost can't believe that we released the song.
I thought it was intentional. I thought you'd added them in there. I was gonna ask.
It is kind of intentional because we knew it was happening. I like having the hawk spirit on the album.
Oh, that's so funny. It's gorgeous. I love it. I feel like, what was that recording process like for you?
Well, we do everything at our house.
Yeah.
Guy and I are a couple, so we live together and we have our home studio here. And we've always used tape cassette machines. And we were trying to record the album for like 3 months, and the tape machines just kept breaking, or the pitch would change, or some, like, it's like we would record what we were like, wow, that was the perfect take, and then it turned out that like the pitch was changing throughout the song, so the guitar would never be in tune, and it was driving us totally crazy. And the whole point of using tape machines was for immediacy and for not overthinking the recording process and just having it be like as raw and as possible. And so that was totally blocking us from doing that. And so we eventually moved over to just using a computer with a little preamp. So like a tiny little setup, plugging instruments in direct to the preamp and then recording. And recording basically in the same way, where I would just do one take, like a few takes, and pick one of the best ones, and then Guy would kind of play over the song.
Oh, cool. So is it Guy that does most of the instrument playing, or do you do that together?
Yeah, he does all of like the arrangements and other instrumentation other than like the core. Either I'll play guitar and sing, or piano and sing, or omnichord and sing, and then he'll add on the other sounds that are on it.
Is that kind of more like a collaborative process, or do you feel like you're more in charge in that case?
It's pretty collaborative, but I would say actually, like, once I have the core song down, I don't really have ideas for instrumentation. Like, I don't really think that way. And so Guy will kind of just start playing on it. And usually it's always like, oh, that's perfect.
Right.
I don't even say anything. So he kind of just intuitively gets it and does things that I would never think of, but that feel kind of perfect for it.
Wow, that's so beautiful. I feel like that's such a cool experience to be able to have. So also, I read you supported Wise Blood.
That was like a really good highlight.
I kind of just wanted to ask because I'm such a fan of Wise Blood as well. And I just thought, wow, two of my favorite artists in the same room. That's insane.
I know. It was really, that was kind of one of my favorite, well, it was definitely one of my favorite opening artists to open for. And it was cool because I think the crowd, it was like the right kind of crowd. People who like her music were like happy to be introduced, I think, to our music.
Yeah.
And, so it was really great. And we were supposed to do two other shows, but she had to cancel them. So
no.
I know.
I think, yeah, that's quite interesting that you say that, because with your music especially, I'm kind of good to do nothing and just listen. Mm-hmm. And I think the same with Wise Blood as well, which is nice because you can, the listening experience is enough. I think at least for people and my friends that are around me, music is kind of like this passive experience where, you know, you're always going to be doing something else, like studying, reading, or like just like because life is busy or whatever. So music has kind of become something that you're not really engaging with, like, I guess how you would engage with the text of a book. But it's really nice, I feel like, with people, I guess, that are similar to you and in your genre, you can kind of just sit with it and go, oh, I'm just listening to the music now, and that's kind of enough, and you can join this world for however long the album is, which is really beautiful.
That's so cool to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to get back to that. Like I was saying, that I haven't been listening to music. I know I'll get back to it, because that's the magic, you know?
Yes.
Really listening and being with music is one of the most profound experiences. So. Give speeches, get feedback, give data, get real facts. We're born to a chart.
Million miles. That's Tell Me How to Be Here by Lael Neal from her latest album. So incredibly psyched that I got to speak with her a few weeks back. I hope you all enjoyed listening to our kōrero. We'll be right back.
Be a family.